So wait, are you saying that a Rudder's decision is somehow willed by Kairos? Is it fate?
Well, Rickard really specifically says it's not. He even has this, no, I am not going for some new objective determinism, even though it sort of sounds like it here and there, right? But I think he would probably say, even though we're not controlled by Kairos, it's not fate. It's not that everything we say is predetermined. It's still more complicated than the idea of us reaching in and taking control.
Right. He uses these words on page 91. He says that it's a highly nuanced set of relations among language, environment, and people, and which I think is part of what's fun about it, is that it does seem to almost emerge as, you know, as serendipity in some ways, that there is this kind of interesting, Kairos has a serendipitous flavor sometimes.
But what that makes me think of is I was writing a blog post the other day about REM, and maybe that's a little related here. I was thinking about my personal history with REM, my personal history with the Materialities, how the first two albums that I got on CD of REM were actually their first two albums, Murmur and Reckoning. But I had been an REM fan for years before I ever got those, and all the ones I'd had before that were on tape. So all of a sudden, I had these two. They were on a different, different medium. They sounded different. They were from different producers. They were from the early '80s, and I was listening in the early '90s. There were all these things differently. And as I was writing this blog post, trying to tease this out, trying to figure out what my history was and what all this mattered, I turned to ambient rhetoric, and I was looking for an interesting quote that would help me understand this circumstance. And I found this one where Rickard says, ambience puts place, language, and body into co-adaptive, vital, and buoyant interaction. And in the serendipitous way, that word buoyant got me thinking. I started thinking about what it means to be buoyant, to be afloat in water. And then I started thinking about the second REM album, Reckoning, which I've learned through reading Wikipedia, I never noticed on my own, that a lot of the lyrics do talk about water. And on the spine of the record, it said File Underwater. Some people originally even thought that was the title of the album, File Underwater. In a very REM sort of way, that very kind of confusing Southern Gothic, purposely obscured underwater sort of meanings, in some ways connected to the things I was already thinking about in record. So I'm trying to decide, was that chirotic in the sense of me taking advantage of that moment? Was it choric in the sense of me stepping into the space of this blog and stepping into the space of this book and controlling it to say the things I wanted? It didn't feel that way to me. It felt more like I stepped into an interesting connection, and one that I love. That's my favorite part of that blog post, even though I don't even totally understand it.